song.
I just wanna dance with you.
Let the whole world melt away. And
I just wanna dance with you.
And hello, everyone out there in podcast land. Welcome back to the Front Row Network, the podcast for people who actually like movies. And another episode of Full Disclosure, where we spoil the ever-living hell out of new movie releases. I'm very excited today. I'm also Jeremy Gechner. Here with me, my very tired, very annoyed movie-watching companion, my wife, Sarah Baltusevich-Gechner. What is up?
Nothing.
As you can see, the descriptors were very apropos as we are trying to get this one in just under the wire here.
Yeah, it's bedtime. Yeah. It's past bedtime.
It's past bedtime?
Way
past bedtime. Well, we're going to be quick about this one. A little Full Disclosure mini here for you, because today, in fact, a new musical is hitting Netflix. The Prom, adapted from the smash hit Broadway musical directed by Ryan Murphy. We got early access to this. Thank you to our friends at Netflix. Man, the press, being press has perks. And so we wanted to just kind of get this Full Disclosure out there to kind of complete our coverage. You can find my early review of the film on the NPR Illinois website already. But we're just going to kind of give our quick thoughts here. So this is, as I said, adapted from the Broadway musical of the same name. It chronicles a teenager named Emma Nolan in Indiana who wants to take her girlfriend to the prom, and the PTA, as opposed to letting her do that, cancels the whole prom because, of course, there'd be some civil rights issues if they banned her. Meanwhile, in New York City, a group of Broadway actors, has their new Eleanor Roosevelt musical has failed, decide to try to rehabilitate their public image by taking up a cause, and they just so happen to pick Emma. They go to this town in Indiana, and chaos ensues. Sarah, you had never actually seen anything from the prom before, the stage show, or any videos and such like that. So what's your first overall impressions of the film here?
It's very quirky.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's a cute musical. It's not a Les Mis.
No, it's definitely not a Les Mis.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of campy. It's got some fun songs. It's, you know, it gets you in a happy mood. It's got some nice ballads. It's just, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's kind of the optimum way I would put it, too. It's just like, you know, there's certain musicals that are just kind of, they're there for the entertainment value. They're there to make you smile. They're there to entertain you.
It's like Mean Girls. It's like a,
yeah,
you know, like a, it's just like a, okay, it's a fun one. You know, it doesn't, it's not a.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it's like a, you have to turn off your brainer either, but it's like, you're right. It's just kind of like, it's.
Yeah, there's issues at the heart of it. I mean, equality issues and, you know, LGBTQ issues, which are extremely prevalent today. And, you know, that's definitely there pervading the whole thing, which that gives it a little bit more depth. But I mean, as a whole, it's a comedy.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like the thing that stuck out to me the most about this film is that the film version of it is that you're right. Like it's got like a message to it, but it still doesn't seem to take itself too seriously.
It doesn't,
even though it's dealing
it
with something.
Your head. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
I mean, it's there. You have some moments where you're angry at the PTA and it's like, seriously, but it doesn't just drill it. It's just not a constant reminder. I mean, you know, it's the plot, but it's not done in such a way that it's like, it makes the whole thing deep or negative or sad. It's an upbeat musical with a message of equality.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even the, you know, the quote unquote real moments of the story, you know, they hit you hard because they're very true to life, but you're right. Like it never seems like it's dragging it down into like melodrama or anything like that. And I would say like, even though, you know, obviously the easy thing is to say this is critiquing like, you know, the bigotry or the, you know, that kind of point of view, it also is kind of equally like roasting the whole kind of social justice warrior mindset as well of like people thinking like, oh, these are just country bumpkins. I'm going to go down there and teach them a lesson and stuff like that. It kind of does a good job of critiquing both extremes of like a political ideology while entertaining with some pretty good songs.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for agreeing with me. So it's got an absolutely stacked cast. Meryl Streep stars as Dee Dee Allen, the Broadway superstar, two-time Tony Award winner. Barry Glickman is played by James Corden. Her kind of, I guess, they kind of paint them as like constant companions,
like
on the Broadway
stage. He's her gay bestie.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's never been awarded like
every
that.
Every Broadway lady has a gay bestie.
Yeah, there you go. That's a gay bestie. Well, they are also joined by Trent Oliver. He is an out-of-work Juilliard grad, played by Andrew Rannells, who's working as a bartender when we first meet him. And then perennial chorus showgirl, always passed over for the lead part,
Angie
Dickinson, played by Nicole Kidman. So
yeah, I told you that was my gripe about it, was that, like, Dee Dee and Barry were obviously, like, besties, and they did so many shows together. And then all of a sudden, just, like, these two random guys, like, Trent is just a bartender who's been in several shows with her, who happens to be bartending that night.
Yeah.
And then Angie just, like, walks into the bar, like,
yeah,
hey,
because,
guys, it's just kind of like,
because she quit her production of Chicago.
Yeah, but why is she there? They're having, like, an after Eleanor party to read reviews, and she strolls in.
Well, it's like Sardi's, right? I think it's supposed
to be
Sardi's.
I know, but
Sardi's.
It's just like, why? I said it. I was like, why not just have Trent and Angie be, like, other cast members of Eleanor? I was just kind of like, these, what?
Well, and I mean, they definitely play the connection with Angie a lot better, like, because, you know, like, they're like, oh, hey, Angie, you know, like, when she walks in.
I mean,
there, but Trent,
like,
is definitely like, nobody remembers
it's
this
like
guy.
Like, a theater community, yeah, you know people.
That's
but
true.
It's just,
that's
like,
true.
For the four of them to, like, decide to go together on this journey,
right, you would
think there'd be, like, more of a tie between them.
That's definitely one of those, like, don't think about it too hard musical parts.
For some reason, like, that really just was like, what?
Yeah, like, it would make a lot more sense if all four of these people
were
like, in
this show.
Yeah,
like, she's a perennial chorus girl, so why was she not just a chorus girl in Eleanor?
Yeah,
like,
and you could have still had the Chicago
aspect. You
could
still use the Chicago thing, but currently she was in Eleanor.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I don't disagree with you there, but they're predictably good. You know, Meryl Streep's doing her thing. She's fabulous in this. She actually kind of has even more of a belt than I've seen her in other musicals.
Yeah,
like,
I feel
she kind
like
of,
there's some, like, auto-tune going on
well,
there.
Definitely.
Like, some help. I feel like she's having some help.
Well,
there ain't no way that belt's coming out of her. Listen, if she is that good of a belter, why did we not hear it in Into the Woods or Mamma Mia?
Well, and
which
the
are
thing,
also belt roles.
The press notes that we got for this movie, they said that Meryl Streep went to, like, six straight months of, like, music theater boot camp to, like,
okay.
try
fine, but
it,
she
but
just she also she played two other iconic belters.
Yeah.
Why were those not? And she's also like 10 years older now than she was in Mamma Mia. So it's like,
right.
Okay,
right. I don't know.
I feel like there's something fishy afoot.
But she's actually, and I mean, predictably, the scenes and the character work from Meryl Streep is great in this.
What are you going to say about it? It's Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I mean, it's Meryl freaking Streep.
We'd be talking about it more if she sucked.
Right. Exactly. Well, she has this great little romance too with Keegan-Michael Key, who plays Principal Hawkins, the principal of Emma's high school, who's her staunchest ally, trying to get justice
for
her. Who
has, like, a really surprisingly cute song.
Yes.
I think it's because it's this year that
probably
song
is
so much truer.
Well, definitely, because the stages have been dark for a full year. And, yeah, and it's, like, it's one of those things that you're right, though. Like, Key, he has a pretty good voice, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not,
I mean,
that
he's
bad.
He's not, like, a, you know, he's not Rannells. But,
no.
Yeah, he has, it's a pretty little,
well,
like,
who is?
His song is, like,
it's
really
called
cute.
We Look to You. Yeah.
It's about, like, how he goes to the theater all the time to escape. You know, it's an escape for him. And
the whole song
is
great.
Idolize. Yeah, it's a cute song.
Yeah, it's great imagery. He talks about going, like, to see Dee Dee, like, perform on Broadway. And the line I loved from that the most is, you know, she was like, oh, so we distract you. And he's like, no, distraction's momentary. An escape is something that can, you know, lift us, you know, and stuff like that. Very, very touching. You're right. But he's very good in this. You know, he's not playing, like,
his
the Keegan
shtick.
Tropes.
Yeah,
the Keegan
stick. It's not doing AA wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But he's very touching in this. But, you know, I think that the clear stars of this show are Ariana DeBose and Joellen Pelman as as Emma, Joellen Pelman, and then DeBose plays Alyssa Green, her closeted secret girlfriend of a year, whose mother is played by Kerry Washington, who is the head of the PTA, who is leading the charge to keep Emma from going to the prom. But those two, man, when they are on screen, The movie is just lifted even more. You just kept commenting, I know, about Pelman specifically, yeah, just about how adorable she is.
Yeah, I think she's the standout for me. DeBose is good.
She's good.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But no, Pelman, she's just dumb.
She's got a lot of heavy lifting to do.
She's just really cute. She just kind of lights up the screen. She's got sparkly eyes.
Really does.
She has a really pure voice, and she's just really, she's really peppy, and she's just cute.
Yeah.
She's really good. Like, I thought she was the one who played it on Broadway. I didn't realize it wasn't.
So right.
She's really good.
Yeah, she's really good. And she plays the tender and the energetic moments very, very well. You know, I agree. She's got a pretty good future ahead of her, I think.
Yeah.
Even if she only wants to do musicals, who knows? You know, being a musical, though, you know, obviously so much of the success of this depends on the score and on those songs.
Oh, you didn't say the rest of the people. Andrew Rannells plays Trent Oliver.
Oh, my God.
Nicole Kidman plays Angie Dickinson.
Well, we said their names and everything. But Angie never really gets a lot to do later. But, like, near the second half of the film, she kind of becomes Emma's support after a pretty traumatic situation occurs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, it's one of those things that, like, is surprising that she gets to be, like, you know, kind of the pillar to lean on type thing. But, you know, she really only gets one song. You know, she's kind of just there in the rest of the stuff, you know?
Yeah, she has this weird song about Zaz.
About Bob Fosse.
It's a cute number, but it's not really necessary.
No, it's definitely the Shapoopy number.
It's not bad. It's cute. And Kidman does a good job with it, but yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, Andrew Rannells has one of the standout songs, Love Thy Neighbor, where he drops actual biblical truth on the teenagers who think they know the Bible.
It's kind of the pepper-upper of Act Two.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those revival-y sounding songs.
Yeah.
And of course, if you've never heard Andrew Rannells sing, just get ready. Kid has a power voice. But we called out some of the songs there. And I think that, like, what I love the most about the score is that it's definitely big on the energy. It's got great, energetic, upbeat numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of, you know, Getting Ready for the Prom with Tonight Belongs to You. You know, you think of, you know, the kind of the big opening numbers. Everybody asking their dates to prom. That's kind of a fun little peppy number there. But I think that the ballads are, you're right, like, kind of where most of my love of the score lives. You know, like, Emma's opening song, Just Breathe, is fantastic.
I Just Want to Dance With You.
Yeah, Dance With You, I think, is one of the best romantic Broadway duets of the last decade. And obviously, if you're not wiping away tears at Unruly Heart, you might want to check your pulse there. You know, are there any other songs that stood out to you in this movie musical?
I mean, the finale.
Yes. Well, Sarah knows of my love for the finale here. I think it's one of the better finales I've ever heard in a Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
It's Time to Dance. It's just got so much energy, so much fun, and a great, great message.
The Acceptance song's cute, too. They only do a little bit of it.
Yeah, they only did a little bit of that, which I kind of hate, because the second half of it just gets so ridiculous. But we're already at 2 hours, 12 minutes. I mean, probably don't want to go to 2 hours, 17 minutes there.
Yeah, there's a couple of songs that are like, meh.
Yeah.
They're not bad, but they're just kind of like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything else that didn't work for you? Because, like, the only thing that, kind of like in the second half, Pelman and DeBose kind of disappear for a long amount of time. And I think the film does kind of miss them when that happens, because they are kind of, the second half, like when the, you know, Meryl Streep is dealing with, you know, Hawkins and Rannells goes to the mall and everything. Like, I think that there's just, like, you know, they're off screen for about a good 30, 35 minutes there, I think.
And, maybe, yeah.
You know, I think, like, yeah, I don't know. They're kind of just the heart of the film for me, and I would have loved to have, like, kind of had a little bit more pacing there.
Yeah, that's fine. I like Kerry Washington as an actress, but I didn't really like her portrayal.
Yeah, you did have kind of like the switch kind of doesn't feel earned for you, right?
Well, it's literally like in seconds.
Yeah.
It's like, Mom, I'm gay. I'm Emma's girlfriend.
Okay, I'm leaving.
We have to talk about this, blah, blah, blah. And then minutes later, she's wearing like the sparkliest of sparkle dresses and attending the prom and telling her daughter, like, I love, like, it's not even,
I mean,
like,
it would be great if that's how it happened.
No, but it's not even like a, like, you know, I came, like, you know, like, it's not even like a, okay, you know, this is hard for me, but I still came because I support you. Like, it's just kind of like all of a sudden, like, hey.
Where's,
like,
my rainbow flag?
I don't know. I think the dress is what throws me, because she's like very.
It's a very colorful
dress.
She's a
very, like, business suit skirt kind of wearing person. And at the end, she wears like this, like, flamboyantly. It's really cute and it's great, but it's just like all of a sudden, like, oh, Yeah. She just had that in her closet, and like, she's just good with it. She spends literally the entire movie like trying to tear apart a teenage girl's life because right. she's a lesbian. Right. Literally. And then it's just all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say, like, when it's your daughter, you know, like, then you have to really confront those kind of things. Like, would you do this to your daughter when that, she's the same
way? I don't know. I just think it, I think the
well,
term
I mean,
is,
like, kayfabe, I guess, what, it would be kind of like an hour or two, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's still
I
pretty.
I feel like they should have, like, revealed that it was her daughter, like at little, the beginning of Act Two. And well, given her the time to
also,
come to the...
God, don't they kind of, like, imply it when she's getting ready for the prom and, like, you know, she wants to tell her they're in the house, but she's like, no, 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 don't, you know, like...
Maybe, but I mean, I feel like if she knew, then all this action that she's doing towards Emma is just, like,
it's
even
really
worse.
Sinister, for one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just horrid. So, I don't know. I don't love that. I feel like it was just really kind of, like, contrived, but, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. And then, like, I... Barry's mom, like, it's cute, but it's also kind of like what?
It does kind of come out. And I'll tell you, that's not in the stage show. That's something they added.
I mean, I get it. But, like, they're trying to, like, relay the story of what's happening to the kids, even to the adults.
And they're,
that
and
it
they're kind of trying
age,
to draw a direct. They're kind of trying to draw a direct, like, visual point to that line in the finale song. You know, how the world may one day be. You know, like that and. And it's also fine, technically, I think it's because in the finale song, Barry has that line, "I just want to dance with you." And in the stage show, he's like going after some hunky teacher, you know? And so in this one, I guess they're trying to make it more heartfelt when he says, "I just want to dance with you," to his mom.
Like that, you really did all that for that one line.
I don't know. But that's one of the key differences.
I don't know.
Guess,
it's fine. It's whatever. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really cute. It's definitely like what we needed right now. Like,
yes.
Like, it's what we needed for this, you know, the end of a really shitty year and just something peppy and fun and musical and bright and shiny. And it's great. It's quirky. Yeah. It's fun. You know, all musicals have their issues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's literally... It's a art form where people randomly break into song and dance. So, you know, every musical's...
Which Principal Hawkins sings about. Isn't that great?
Some people love musicals for that reason. I'm one of them. Some people are like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. And it's super fun. It's, you know, it's not like... It's like a Mamma Mia. It's like, you know, the Mamma Mia movies, a lot of people hate it. I like it a lot because it's just like you turn it on and you feel good and you want to sing and dance along. That's what this was for me.
Yeah, so. I agree with you there. So I definitely recommend this film. I think that,
you're just a prom, like, obsessed.
Oh, yeah. Well, my written review, the very first line was, this is a biased review. So, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I've been a prom mega fan for a long time. I've been so excited about this movie musical adaptation. So happy that they got it in just under the COVID wire with the shooting schedule. This movie was for me from the start, but I do think that they faithfully adapted it. I think they did a very good job of adapting it, you know, because, you know, there are some musicals that when you try and put them on film, it just does not work. I mean, like Cats last year, just for example. Lots of other issues there, but James Corden as well. I guess you want to address that a little bit because that's something that was bugging me.
I feel like you think it's a bigger deal than it is.
It probably is, but there were some people who called out Corden for his performance as, you know, disrespectful to gay people and I don't know. I don't want to tell any homosexual person what to feel when they watch it. I don't want to tell anybody what to feel when they watch it, but I made the point to this to some of the front row people. It's just like, you know, I don't see anything in here that's any different from any other straight person that's played a gay person over the last decade.
You said
acted
like he had like a put upon lisp and like a really like...
I know. And I didn't really notice it that much.
I think he did it like one time and it was like it's like when I do like that Valley Girl impression that I do sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, like I said, he was to me, like for a majority of the film until they really got into Barry's story, he was just James Corden.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you hadn't told me that this is an like outwardly gay man,
it would just be
James Corden for me.
Yeah,
so
it was just that one line when they get to the town where he says, I'm as gay as a bucket of wigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like that's really it. I mean, you're right.
Yeah,
like,
he talked about it, and like later on in the movie, it gets more into it. But I'm saying, like, for the first 20-25 minutes, it's literally just James Corden to me. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I didn't...
Yeah, I didn't understand it. And I mean, like, I couldn't understand the other earlier reviews that were like calling this out, and like they were saying like,
"Oh, he's doing it in gay face."
Yeah, like they said like something in gay face, or that he should have been banned, or like it's the worst performance ever.
That's saying that no straight man should ever play a gay man. Isn't that what acting is all about?
Yeah, but I told people in our front row chat, I was like, you know, if this is offensive, somebody has to tell me why Eric Stone Street or Eric McCormick's performances weren't over the past decade. You know, I know those were, you know, further back.
Not really Stone Street. That show just ended like last year.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's one of those things. Just like, look, the point is salient. Like, there's enough like good gay actors there that they should probably be, you know, if you got a gay storyline, sure. Fine.
But by saying that, you're saying anytime there's a gay character, it has to be played by a gay man. So can a gay man not ever play a straight character?
Exactly.
That's acting. That is what the point of acting is.
And also,
is.
I want to know if that's the point you're trying to make, then do you have a problem with Paul Bettany, who's playing a gay man in an Amazon film right now?
I just don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me. As an actor, you are taught to portray different types of people. Do you only have to be pigeonholed as to what you are?
Right.
So you can't ever play a gay man?
Like, 2 years ago, Mahershala Ali. Green Book, playing a gay man. Like, you know, like, I get, and there was the Vanity Fair review that really just kind of bugged me.
I mean, this is like totally different, but should I never play a British person? Because I'm not British. I'm just saying. No, that's the same thing.
I know, and that's why I said, like,
it's
not. But I mean, I get your point. Like, you're right. Like, and like I said, it's the Vanity Fair article that really got me, because it was just like, well, you know, I don't have a critique or whatever, but like, I know it when I see it. And I'm like, I don't think you do, because I'm not seeing anything crazy offensive in this performance. I'm just seeing a guy playing a gay character, and in a musical, no less, you know, in a ridiculous musical. Like,
all this stuff with this year, like the sensitivity about everything.
Yeah,
just,
I mean,
it's pervading everything, and it's all that, to the point of craziness.
All that just to say, like, if that's something that like you see there, fine, whatever. But I just didn't, and I was looking for it. So I mean, like that's just it. Like I actually think Corden did quite a good job. I like his singing voice. Mm-hmm. I think he hit a really good note there. He's got acting chops. I mean, he won a Tony Award for God's sake for acting. So I mean, like,
like I said, he's being James Corden.
Yeah,
if you like Corden's comedy, you'll like his portrayal.
That's what drives it. Like, you either like James Corden or you don't, and you're finding a reason not to. So like that, whatever. I think he did good. I think everybody does good. I think Ryan Murphy directs this really well. I just think it's a really, like you said, it's a fun, fun movie. It's a great way to end the year. I don't think you have to turn your brain off, but you definitely are going to be entertained, and you're going to forget your troubles for 2.5 hours. And I think that's well worth it.
Unless you want to go to prom with your girlfriend in Indiana.
Note to self, people suck in Indiana. We're kidding. We love you, Indiana. You're right next door. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Full Disclosure on The Prom. Again, The Prom has dropped already now on Netflix. Get your butt out there and watch it. I really think that you're going to dig it. So that's going to do it. If you want to find more from us, go to nprillinois.org/program/front-row-network, or find us on all your social media channels, Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter. Anything else, Sarah?
No, bed.
All right. For Full Disclosure of the Front Row Network, I'm Jeremy Gechner.
I'm Sarah Baltusevich Gechner.
And we will see you in the front row. Bye. It's time to dance. For listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/frontrownetwork. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter @FrontRowReviews with a Z.